Professor Stephan, good morning. Thanks for joining us this morning.
Good morning. Thank you.
So La Nina was, supposed to bring like a bit of a cool change, theoretically. And obviously that didn't prove to be correct with the second hottest year on record being recorded last year. What does that kind of tell us?
Well, that tells us that the dominant trend now in climate change is the long-term warming driven by greenhouse gas increases in the atmosphere and the burning of fossil fuels. That's now overwhelming the natural variability patterns. For example, 2016 was the hottest year on record. That was an El Nino. And we expected La Nina, of course, to cool that down a bit, but in fact it was virtually the same as the 2016 record high temperature.
Because El Nino is heating, right? It's the opposite to La Nina.
That's right. It's the opposite phase of that mode of natural variability. What that's telling us is now that it's just the underlying warming trend due to greenhouse gas emissions that is now taking over as the dominant driver of these temperature changes.
So, with all of us in lockdown for quite a period last year, not using cars and et cetera, I would have kind of thought hopefully we would have had some positive changes. I mean, that's what many of us were hoping.
You're not going to see that in 1 year. You're going to need to see emission reductions over a decade or two steadily before you really see a change in the climate. We now estimate that greenhouse gas emissions were indeed about 7% less in 2020 due to COVID-19. But that isn't enough yet to make a measurable impact on the climate system.
So 7%, that's quite a small number. Theoretically, what kind of percentage should we be looking at over the long term?
Well, what we need to do is reduce our emissions by at least 50% by 2030. So that's the immediate target we need. So we're going to need to reduce our emissions by about the same amount year on year. And, of course, COVID-19, in a bad way, gave us a boost. But now we actually have to plan to deliberately reduce our emissions very deeply and very steadily over the next decade and beyond.
Yeah, and I mean, if we only, for 12 months, a lot of us, not the whole world, but a lot of parts of the world were locked down, if that was only 7% with all of us staying inside, then I'm guessing that it's not just up to the individual to try to make these 50% changes. Would that be right?
Absolutely. In fact, I think the biggest issue here is what we call the collective action problem. For example, how do we come out of COVID-19? Our government wants to use what's called a gas-led recovery. That would be disastrous for the climate because that would actually increase greenhouse gas emissions again. So how we plan our recovery from COVID-19 is really critical for the climate issue.
And you mentioned before that, what this whole, what 2020 being recorded as the second hottest year was showing despite La Nina was that the increasing warming is the driving factor here. And, the disastrous temperature rise, for lack of a better term, that we've been talking about is a rise of 3 degrees. Are we still on track for that? Has there been any slowdown at all, or are we still, is that where we're still heading?
No, we're still on track. When you look at the present policies around the world, not only here in Australia, but other countries. Now, there are some promising statements being made about improvements to those policies, but until we actually see that in action, we can't say for sure that we'll do better than 3 degrees. But even if we do look at the more positive policies, they're still on track to warm the planet by 2 or 2.5 degrees, and that's very, very dangerous territory itself.
Yeah, it's cutting it very fine, isn't it? Professor Will Stephan, thank you so much for taking the time to chat with us this morning.